Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Oh, and on this beautiful sunny day in Denver, Colorado, welcome to Call to Freedom. I hope you're listening because there's just so much to talk about. And it's all about freedom, folks. It's all about freedom. Our strength may fail, but our God will not. May He give you peace of heart and mind today, because it is God who arms us with strength and makes our way perfect. In fact, it reminds me of this beautiful verse in Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. Hallelujah. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God, you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And the literal of strength, God, you are my strength, is rock. You are my solid rock. And that's such a beautiful, beautiful verse, because with God's counsel, He will guide us, friend, and afterward receive us to glory. And what a beautiful thing to look forward to. We should have no fear, no fear at all. Even when we get close to dying here on this earth, we are going to be resurrected with Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Oh, praise the Lord. This is so exciting. I remember the day that the assassin killed our precious friend. And we all think of him as a friend because of his wonderful testimony of serving Jesus Christ. But on his t-shirt, as he was throwing caps out to that beautiful audience, was the word freedom. Freedom. It was for freedom that Jesus set you free. And I'm just so honored to call this broadcast Call to Freedom. I remember about a week after Darren had died in 2009, and I said, Lord, we can't call it Darren Live anymore. I mean, he is still alive, but not on this earth, praise God. And I said, help me to find a title that would do. And some wanted me to call it Barbara, but I felt with all my heart that freedom was the word that Darren named his church when he had a church, a Freedom Chapel. Also, gospel verse in Galatians 5 verse 1 was one that he had chosen. It was for freedom that Jesus set you free. And so I felt, Lord, you're just asking me to call people to freedom. No more bondage, no more yoke of bondage, but freedom in every way. And I'm just so honored to call this broadcast Call to Freedom. Thank you, Lord God. Let's do our Monday Bible slogan before I get too emotional. Can't get through with this program. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. It is the Word of God. And today we're going to talk about new life right now. We're going through a transition, and exactly what Charlie Kirk named his organization, Turning Point USA. I'm going to define that for you so you can exactly know what Charlie was thinking of when he organized it at the age of 18 years of age in his garage. Oh, praise God. I want you to know that you can get hold of us. Email at Barbara@freedomstreet.org, Kimberly@freedomstreet.org, or hello hello, H-E-L-L-O, at freedomstreet.org. And if you'd like to listen to programs that you thought were really good and you'd like to go back and listen to them, all you do is go to freedomstreet.org and click on the and under the resources title, radio shows. And you can hear all those shows from August all through to what it is right now. And it's just so wonderful to know that we have that technology. Oh, praise God. And you can, yeah, you can email me. You can call me at that number that Jimmy gave you at the beginning, and he'll give it to you at the end. 1-877-917-7256. You can get all of this on your iPhone. You don't need to have a computer. All you need is an iPad or an iPhone. And I know 99% of the people have an iPhone. So go for it. Go for it, my friends. Go for it. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And I just sent out receipts for the month of August when you gave. And those receipts that I sent to you say, pray for Erica Kirk. And I hope that you are doing that. Praying for the widow, young widow of Charlie Kirk. And she promised that it would be unleashed. And I know that J.D. Vance was on Charlie Kirk's radio show today. And he says, I'm honored to take his place today. So we're going to have so many people that are so enthused and ready to go to work for Turning Point USA. I also want to say that during the weekend, I found out that 22,000, probably more now, 22,000 inquiries and applications to be charters and clubs for Turning Point. I mean, it's a tsunami, friends. It's a death. This death has caused a tsunami. It reminds me of Jesus. His death and resurrection brought about an explosion, and we no longer have to hide our faith. Nope. We don't have to hide it under a bushel, under a bucket. Nope, we don't have to do that anymore. We can gratefully say Jesus Christ out in the open. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You are our Savior and our Lord. And so now the Charlie Kirk effect is wide open, and I'm so grateful for that. I was trying to think of a verse of scripture as I'm reading through Isaiah. What would be a good scripture, Lord God, for this week? And it might sound very strange to you, but he had me go to Isaiah 22, verse 22. And I'm going to say it in the New American Standard. And then we can talk a little bit about what this strange verse is talking about. And it goes on. And this is, you have to listen to this. This is God speaking to Isaiah. Then I will set the key of the house of David on his shoulder. He's talking specifically in Jerusalem at that time about Eliakim, who was the son of a Levite who served in Solomon's court. And what he opens, no one will shut. When he shuts, no one will open. I want you to memorize that one. Isaiah 22, verse 22, then I will set the key of the house of David on his shoulder. Remember, Jesus came from the house of David. Eliakim was a priest. And I will drive him like a peg in a firm place, and he will become a throne of glory to his father's house. Well, this is opportunity, because God is saying, not only for Eliakim in the Old Testament, but this is a very messianic approach to Jesus coming back, establishing a new covenant of grace and mercy by his blood. And what he says, no one can shut. He's going to open a door that no one can shut. And I believe that door is open, wide open now. Oh, especially after this Turning Point episode last week. I know that he is opening doors for you, friend, and opening doors for me and everyone who calls that by the name of Jesus Christ, a believer. And what he shuts, no one can open. No one will be against you when you begin talking about Jesus in a way that will honor and glorify his name. No shouting. No ripping apart people. No trying to tell them how wrong they are. No loving. Loving and being gracious to them. Oh, what opportunity we have to speak about Jesus. Well, let's go to Isaiah chapter 22. And I'm just going to give a little background of a story here. We find ourselves in the ancient city of Jerusalem. specifically at the palace of King Hezekiah. This is the palace that Solomon built. The scene is bustling with activity as the king's officials, advisors, and servants are gathered in the grand hall. Now, we have seen the ballroom at the White House, and that's pretty grand. But here, I can't even begin to imagine the grand hall in the temple in Jerusalem. King Hezekiah, a righteous and devout ruler, is seeking counsel and guidance from his trusted advisor, Eliakim, son of Hilkiah. And it was Hilkiah who was appointed by Solomon to be a priest over the household. Eliakim, a respected figure in the kingdom, known for his wisdom and loyalty, stands before the king with a key in his hand. A key. This key symbolizes the authority and responsibility that the king is bestowing upon him, making him the steward of the royal household. Now, King Hezekiah is giving Eliakim a key. And this key is, what is a key for? It opens. It opens doors and it closes doors. But he's giving him a key to the actual whole household of Solomon's, all the workers and all the advisors and all the council and all the builders. Everything in his household is given to Eliakim. And the atmosphere is solemn, yet filled with anticipation as this significant moment unfolds, marking a shift in power and trust within the kingdom. We have just experienced in these last 3 or 4 days, and it doesn't take a whole lot of time. It really doesn't. God is collapsing the time and multiplying the anointing here, folks. Exactly what Darren was talking about. It's marking a shift in power and trust within the kingdom. After this last week, God is marking a shift in power and trust within the kingdom of the United States of America. Surrounded by ornate tapestries, intricate carvings, and flickering torches casting a warm glow, the room exudes a sense of history and reverence. The weight of the king's decision hangs in the air as Eliakim prepares to take on his new role with humility and determination. This pivotal scene captures a moment of transition and trust. That's what we're going through right now, a moment of transition and trust as the fate of the kingdom rests on the shoulders of these two men. This verse from the book of Isaiah is rich with symbolism and significance. It speaks of a key, a powerful symbol representing access, authority, and responsibility. Remember when Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 19, he's giving us the keys to the kingdom of God, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He's giving you the authority to speak over your dominion today. Oh, praise God. This has such power. So this key is a powerful symbol representing access, authority, and responsibility. Placing the key on someone's shoulder signifies entrusting them with a significant power and authority. The key to the house of David symbolizes the authority and leadership of the royal line of David in this case. Now, in Isaiah 9, verse 6, I hope you're reading through Isaiah with me. I know it was really probably when I started reading Isaiah 50 years ago, it was the most difficult to understand of all the books of the Bible, including Numbers. I said, oh, Lord, I don't know if I'll ever understand it. He said, just keep reading. Just be faithful and diligent and keep reading. And now is my favorite. Really, it's my favorite Old Testament book. Oh, it is wonderful. And in Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says that the government shall be upon his shoulders. The governments of the world are going to be ruled by King Jesus in Jerusalem. Oh, so exciting. In Revelation 5, verse 3, this is describing the fact that John is seeing a scroll, and there is no one that can open the scroll. And John is vividly crying. There is no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth who's able to open this scroll or to take a single look at its contents. And this scroll is the title deed of the universe that contains the right of ownership and the timing and plans of fulfilling the eternal destiny of all creation. Now, who took away the ownership? Why do we need to take an ownership back? Satan. Satan took the ownership. He was the prince of the power of this world and of this earth. Now, when Jesus died and was resurrected, he took the keys of death and hell out of Satan's hand. And yes, our mortal bodies, our physical bodies do die, but we are immediately with God the Father. So here, this scroll of the title deed of the universe gives us the ownership now. That's authority. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 10, verse 19. Behold, I give you authority over all the power of the devil. Oh, that's a celebratory phrase. It is. Luke 10, verse 19. He's given us the authority over all the power of the enemy. And that's what it says right here in Revelation 5, verse 3. And the Lamb is standing there when John is crying openly. And it says in verse 4 of Revelation 5, and I wept audibly and bitterly because no one was found fit to open the scroll or to inspect it. Then one of the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin said to me, stop weeping, John. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root, the source of David. Oh, he's talking about Jesus, our Savior and Lord. He has won the battle. Oh, and we say here, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root and the source of David, is what we just read last week when it came to the seven spirits of God. And I believe a lot of you need to go after the broadcast. I posted online after 3 o'clock. You need to go back and listen to this. You really do, because this is an absolutely broad explanation of what's going to happen in these last days. Jesus is coming out of the root of Jesse in Isaiah 11, verse 1 and 2, with all the spirits, the seven spirits of God. And we just read about that. He has won. He has overcome and conquered. He can open the scroll and break its seven seals. And this is one of the most exciting verses in the whole Bible, because Jesus and his church, we are part of the church who have accepted him as Savior and Lord, we're taking back ownership of this earth, yanking it from the hands of the devil. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to talk about the key of the house of David in Isaiah 22, verse 22 this week. Chapter 22, verse 22. Excuse me. I get so excited sometimes. I need to tone down. Because we have a great opportunity and responsibility as the body of Jesus Christ to move forward in praising and exclaiming the name of Jesus. This happened with the preparation of this time in U.S. history, set up by Charlie Kirk, who courageously went out and proclaimed that there is a new way of looking at issues besides the far left that has been feeding our young people lies in the classroom and in social media. Here is an opportunity of a lifetime to begin to stomp out the far left agenda, and that includes billions from China and from Qatar. Billions coming into our colleges and our campuses, brainwashing our children and promoting and now we are seeing a turn to young people wanting to live and have children and be married and be pro-life, no longer pro-choice. Praise God. One example of that brainwashing was the heart and mind of Tyler Robinson, who had listened to all the hate mongering day after day after day after day. And he finally brought all those thoughts into a culmination of killing Charlie Kirk. And he was listening to that day after day. And he did go to college for a semester. And I believe in those classrooms, he got an idea that Charlie Kirk was evil. What are your children and grandchildren listening to? Do you know what they're listening to? You need to know what they're listening to, because it's so important. It's important not only for their future, but the future of this nation. So, you know, get up in their faces and say, what are you listening to? And if there's ways to block some of those awful social media platforms, do it as a parent and grandparent. And so he went out, this Tyler Robinson went out thinking he was doing good for the country because Charlie Kirk was spewing hatred on all the college campuses, and get rid of him any way you can. Well, he finally did. But he didn't get rid of the root that is going to rise up. Charlie Kirk named his grassroots organization Turning Point USA. Do you know what Turning Point means? It's an event, action, or idea that causes a significant and often decisive change in a situation that occurs, especially one with beneficial results. That decisive change or shift in direction, that's what we're seeing, we're experiencing that right now, brings about a substantial transformation. That's what we're wanting. Charlie prepared the stage, and now it's the duty of every red-blooded American to go forth and bring about a new revelation of knowledge that will instill in the hearts of people truth and love. Oh, and no longer we have to hide the name of Jesus. No longer we have to shrink back. No. Charlie Kirk spoke of people who stop talking are going to begin to contemplate violence. Well, maybe divorce also. I'm thinking that came into my mind, but that is going to end. Because we're going to find dialogue is more important than going into our rooms and sitting there and not being able to talk to anybody. We're going to get back to talking to each other. And then a little incentive of getting money in these protests, when the protests were in the city and they were burning cars and burning buildings. The incentive was money that was coming into them. And they thought, wow, this money is really good. They were won by the promises of getting paid. And that money is going to give them over to demonic forces. Friend, money is not that important. Getting money to have protests and to burn and to kill and to loot is not beneficial in any way. And remember, this last weekend, there were no burning cars. There were no burning buildings. There were no protests in the streets. It was prayer meetings all over the world and vigils for Charlie. So Charlie advocated forgiving enemies, that when you forgive, oh, the enemy hates that. He doesn't know what to react to when you forgive. He said, we heard it repeated by Governor Spencer Cox on Friday. Turn off your phone, touch grass, read your Bible, and go to church. Praise the Lord. It has unleashed a tsunami that will affect every young person in the U.S. to begin to think differently, think on their own, and be not a tool of the far left agenda of changing the dynamics of a great country. And remember, Charlie Kirk believed in faith, family, country. That's what he believed in, first of all. So I want you to remember that as we listen to Matt Maher, Father, Let Your Kingdom Come.
Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done.
Let your kingdom come on this earth right here in my heart. It has to start in your heart, my friend. The love, the forgiveness, the blessing others, no matter what. You know, I think of Jesus saying, and bless those who persecute you. Bless those that come against you, who curse you. Bless them. Bless them. And that's what we need to do, just like Charlie did in the midst of all kinds of opposition on campus. He really brought a message of truth and of honesty, and the kids loved it. The young people loved it, and they are going to go forth and support your young people. Support your children and your grandchildren today. Tell them about Charlie Kirk. Just give them a whole lot of words about Charlie Kirk and how he loved God more than anything else. He loved his family and he loved his country. Oh, God bless you. I've got so much more to tell you. I'll continue it tomorrow. God bless you and keep you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Our partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.